Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus, draw me ever nearer as I labor through the storm you have called me.
Thanks for another day journey, for another worship experience, a day that we've never seen before. We thank him for mercies, new mercies, morning by morning, the prophet Jeremiah recalled to mind. He remembered his affliction, the wormwood and the gall. He remembered it was of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. His compassions fail not. Great is his faithfulness. We are so grateful that God is good and loving and kind and merciful. You know, from generation to generation, he is a merciful God. And he shew forth his mercies to us. You know, God is so passionate in his love toward us. So we are so grateful that we have a loving, kind God who extends himself, who extends himself into our circumstance, and who helps us and who pleads with us, who takes us where we, you know, God gives us not what we deserve, but what we need and most of what we want. So we thank God that he provides all of our needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And we bless his holy and righteous name. We couldn't make it without him. The Bible to let us know very, very clearly that we can do nothing without God. So we are truly blessed. It's in him that we live, we move, and we have our being. The very fact that we're breathing God's air. The very fact that we can move is because he gives us the energy. He gives us the vitality, the energy, the strength to do what we do. And it's because of his mind being on us, the fact that we're still here. Could you imagine if God would take his mind off of you? We are so significant, you know, to a great God such as the one that rules the whole universe. You know, we are very significant and very, not only significant, we're very special in the eyesight of God. Each one of us are individual, collectively as a body, but as an individual, God knows us by name. He knows our heart's desires. He knows our thoughts. He's such a compassionate and intimate God, and we count that a blessing, the fact that he knows us by name. So we are so grateful on today for another day's journey. We are continuing to talk about the end time, and we're using for a foundation Matthew chapter 24. You know, we are truly grateful for what God is sharing with us. Last week he gave us the nature of the people that live here in this world today. You know, we went to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Paul writes, you know, we're living in what's called the latter days. And he says that perilous times should come, you know, perilous times. So, you know, the Bible is right. God's word is right and true. I'm grateful that he gave us a full knowledge of the things that are going on in this world. You know, the word of God gives us the understanding of the times that we're living in and the fact that man's heart has failed them in so many different ways. We truly bless God for this word, perilous times. Perilous times. So we bless God. Today's lesson, again, our foundational scripture is going to be taken from Matthew's gospel. My name is Apostle Jimmy Williams, and we're truly counted an honor and a blessing to come before you on tonight and declare unto you the counsel of the Most High God. Matthew chapter 24. Starting at verse 1, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to shew him the building of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall be left here one stone upon another that shall not be torn down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be a sign of thy coming and an end of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name and say I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, and see that you be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and there shall be kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famine and pestilence and earthquake in divers places. All these things, all these are the beginning of sorrow. Amen. May God richly bless the reading of his word and the hearers of his word. We thank God for the word. Amen. Heavenly Father, let us go to the throne of grace, the throne of mercy. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, we bow our heads, we lay prostrate, we lift our hands as a sign of surrender. First of all, we tell you, thank you, God. You know, we thank you. Thank you for all blessings. We thank you for every good and perfect gift, Lord God. We give you thanks on today for the multitudes of opportunities and blessings that you've bestowed upon our lives. We tell you, thank you, Lord. We praise you. We exalt you in the earth. We lift you up, and we give you thanks. We say hallelujah. Thank be to God, the maker of heaven and earth. Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, as we come before your throne, we ask for forgiveness of sin, that you wash us in your blood, that you cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We ask you, Lord God, to give us your spirit, Lord God, the Holy Ghost, a fresh and anew, a spirit that's worthy, Lord, to come into your very presence. Father, we are grateful for the Holy Spirit. We're grateful for you allowing us to come into your presence and worship you and bow before your throne. Now, Father, we just say, send your word. We ask that you would speak. The people have come now to hear instructions concerning the mysteries of your word. We ask that you would make it plain, that you open up the understanding, that the Holy Spirit, the very teacher, the very spirit of truth, that you lead us and guide us and teach us and bring all things back to our remembrance, things that are necessary for this worship experience on tonight. Now, God, give us a heart to receive your word, ears to hear, and a mouth to thus what thus saith the Lord, the things that are necessary. Lord God, we just ask, Lord God, that you continue to move in our midst, to take authority over every hindering spirit, and we bind it up. In the name of Jesus Christ, we bind it up with his help us over these services. We say, speak, Lord. Speak, Father. For your children desire to know what it is thou would have to say to us. These and all blessings we ask in Jesus' name. We thank God. We thank God. And we thank God again. Amen. We bless his holy and righteous name. Matthew chapter 24. Jesus, after chasing them out of the temple, the money changers, he went to a place called the Mount of Olives, and he sat down. And his disciples came unto him, and they asked him several questions. He says, upon the Mount of Olives, verse 3, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be a sign of thy coming and an end of the world? These are the questions that the disciples asked Jesus. Jesus trying to comfort them. He recognized that his time here in this world is coming to an end, coming to a close. His ministry, after 3.5 years of ministering here in this world, his ministry is taking a turn. It was the time that he would leave. It's time of departure for him to go back up into glory. So he tells them to be not troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe ye also in me. He said, I go now to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. And if I go, I come again and receive you unto myself. Jesus trying to comfort the disciples, you know, comfort his people with those words, John chapter 14. He goes into the temple, comes out, and he sits on the Mount of Olives, and they begin to ask him, a sign of your coming, Jesus. Give us a sign of your coming and the end of the age. You know, and he began to talk to them about the deception. You know, many shall be deceived. Understand this end time gathering. Except there be a falling away, the Bible says the end cannot come. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, there must be a falling away from the faith. And except there be a falling away, the Bible tells us that the end shall not come. We have to be properly focused at this time. Properly focused doctrinally, properly focused, you know, scripturally. You know, we have the Word of God as our beacon of light. It shows us the way of salvation. So we have to make sure that the things that we teach, the things that we preach, are found in the Word. You know, everything is established by the Word of God. So we got to make sure that what we're saying, what we're teaching, and what's being taught to us is found, it's sound doctrine. It's sound teaching and established by the Word itself. You know, we can't be tossed about with every kind of doctrine and the side of men that wait to deceive us. Brothers and sisters, if it doesn't line up with the Word, you know, if it's not sound teaching, you know, I would advise you to pack it up and find yourself a preacher, a teacher that is solid in his delivery in terms of teaching and preaching the Word of God. You know, so many of us just accept things on face value without searching it out, without uncovering it and making it known. You know, it's you know, we can't just take things on face value. The times that we're in is too dangerous, and people got so many different agendas as the reason why they do what they do. You know, there are all kinds of false prophets. You know, everybody wants to be head of the church. You know, everybody wants to do their own thing. So be careful. That's the sign. That's what I'm saying. Just be careful. You know, if you don't understand something, you know, it's to your advantage to ask questions, to get to the bottom of it, to know exactly what it is that's being said to you. Amen. Take heed that no man deceive you. Take heed. You'd be surprised that people who, out of tradition, a man, they just, you know, they just do things according to their tradition. Never really search it out as to how and why. You know, even something as simple as being born again. You're born again by the incorruptible seed, by the Word of God. Holy Spirit impregnates the human spirit with the Word of God, and the result is the born-again experience. We're born again by the incorruptible seed, by the Word of God. You know, we have, the Bible let us know that many are called, but few are chosen. And understand the election and the calling of God, and then that you know he justify. I mean, understand these. There are three different steps for salvation. There's sanctification, and the last of these is glorification. Understand that. Sanctified by the washing of the word. Anything that's sanctified is set apart for the purpose of God. You know, things, we set things apart. You know, we become set apart. We become instruments for the master's use. You know, we become part of the bride, a part of the church. You know, we become an instrument that God can use. You know, the hand of the Lord came upon us, and he uses us. He molds us, he shapes us, he speaks through us, he walks in us, and he teaches us the way of salvation. The Holy Ghost is there to speak into your heart and into your ear words of eternal life, you know, that we can understand what it is that God is saying to us. You know, he leads us, he makes it clear, and he makes things understandable. You know, his job is to teach us, to bring things back to our remembrance and give us the understanding of the revelation of God's word. You know, spiritual things being spiritually discerned. Except the Holy Spirit give it to us, we can't even know the things of God. You know, no man can know the things of God except by the Spirit of God. Because spiritual things, again, are spiritually discerned. So we thank God for the Holy Spirit. You know, without the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't have a church. You know, we couldn't, you know, the power, not by might, not by power, but by that Spirit, says the Lord. You know, if we didn't have the Holy Spirit, it was so necessary for Jesus to go to the cross, be resurrected, and then to be lifted up off the Mount of Olives. You know, he said so many times that except he go, the Comforter would not come. But he told them to go and wait in Jerusalem until they be endued with power from on high. He said, ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, even unto the uttermost parts of the earth. The 120 went into the upper room. 10 days afterwards, the presence of the Holy Spirit came. Power, the latter rain, the early rain. You know, this was that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel, that God would pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. Sons and daughters would prophesy. Without the Holy Ghost, the church was birthed on the day of Pentecost. And without the power of God, none of us could be saved. We got to be born again. It takes the Holy Spirit. His job, his ministry in the earth is to fulfill God's word. For the fulfillment of God's word, he is the power of God. You know, he is that power that gives us the strength to live and walk uprightly. You can't save yourself. It takes the Holy Ghost to change you. We have to have another nature. The Spirit of God is what quickens us, gives us a whole different nature. And then, you know, he teaches us. He makes it known to us, the things of God. He writes the things of God upon the tables of our heart that we won't sin against God. You know, God makes it known to us. So we have to have the presence and the power of the Holy Ghost. So he sent another, the Comforter, the Teacher. And his job is to lead us and guide us unto all truth. Amen? So we thank God for the Comforter, the Paraclete, the Spirit of Truth. We bless God for the gift of the Holy Ghost. You know, just like salvation is a gift, Jesus was a gift to the world. The Holy Ghost is a gift. We simply have got to ask the Father, you know, ask him, and he'll give us the desires of our heart. He'll give us those things that we need. God knows that we need his Spirit. I'm serious. We need the anointing. Without the anointing, you're just powerless. It takes that kind of power not only to walk uprightly, but to strengthen us, to give us the strength and the power to defend ourselves against the works of the enemy. Amen? The anointing of God. Matthew 24. The disciples came unto him, Master, give us a sign of your coming and the end of the world. You know, they, first of all, a sign of his coming. Understand there is a great falling away from the faith. We've got over 500 or more on denominations, you know, with all kinds of teaching, you know, all kinds of philosophy and strategy as to how to get saved and how to live a saved life. You know, we got, so, I mean, we got to make sure that it all lines up. Amen. The Bible let us know we shall know them by the fruit that they bear. Let's look at verse 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. It's a sad thing that he's, to go to church, you know, wanting God, needing something in your life, and needing the presence of God, needing to be in a situation where, you know, your comfort, your soul is comforted, and you have the reassurance that everything is all right. But in spite of all of that, the devil has his own church, and people get caught up in religion, and religion doesn't do anything for people. It doesn't change anybody. You know, people join churches. They offer a hand of fellowship. They come into a local congregation, and they feel that this is the church. The church is not the building or the organization. The church is the body of Christ. It's the people of God. You know, the people, the born-again believers, they are the church, not the building or the organization. You know, those that bear his name, those that have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, them that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So, I mean, people go and they look at the building. They look at the, you know, yard full of cars, and it's a big institution, and it looks good, and everybody's talking about it. But are they saved? Are we looking at the stained glass? Are we looking at the appearances? Because religion has all the appearances. You know, can they live, are they living any kind of lifestyle that represents Christ in the earth? I mean, when a person gets saved, it's no more about you. You know, your life and your lifestyle has no position, has no place in the body of Christ. You know, you take on a new nature, you know, new conversation. You know, your whole concept of life, your affection for the things of this world, you know, you don't no longer live here. I mean, you're here because God chooses to use you, but your affections are, and you become a citizen of heaven. So you don't have a concern about the world and things of this world, things of this life. You know, we are in the world, but we're not of the world. You know, are we trying to live any kind of lifestyle? You know, we got all kinds of modern-day religion, you know, modern-day conversations and things that are going on, but does it look, or does it act like a saint? You know, are we representing the Christ? Are we representing him? You know, we are his ambassadors. You know, we are his witnesses here on the earth. Does it represent Christ? You know, we can have all of the conversation, but there's some things that you can't fake. You know, we can't fake love. You know, love is the fulfillment of all of the law. I mean, loving God, number one, because it's going to take love. The only way that you can walk in this walk and talk this talk and leave the things of this life is because you love him more than you love yourself. You love him more than the things of this world. So you're able to love him and then forsake the things of this life, forsake the things of this world. You know, we don't hold these things of this world to be of any really significance. We love God more, and our affections are not on this world, but on the things of the world to come and of that world. Citizens, Zion, citizen of the heavenly place, a new home over in Zion. Abraham's looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. So we thank God that there is another place and another home, and we can find rest for our weary souls. We just come here. We just sojourned here, looking for a way out. And Jesus Christ came and opened up a door, the door of the sheepfold. He became a door, and then he opened the door and declared himself to be the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father, he says, but by me. So we thank God for making a way for us, making a way. Came through the birth canal, and he came here as a man. God gave the world, gave the earth to man. So he came here legally. He possessed an earth suit. He became flesh, and he dwelled among us. And we beheld the glory of the only begotten Son, full of grace and full of truth. He divested himself, came in the likeness of a man. He humbled himself. He became obedient, even unto the death of the cross. So we thank God for his humility. We thank God for his ability to disrobe himself of all his majesty. He didn't come here as a God. He was already God. He came here as a man to fulfill this passion, this work. He came here, took on flesh so that he can destroy flesh, sin in the flesh. This is what he came to destroy. God's concern was man was lost. We were lost in sin and degradation and needed a way out. And Jesus came here, shed his blood for the remissions of sin, that we might have life and we might have life more abundantly. So we thank God that he gave his own life so that we might live. He justified us. We became justified by faith, he paid the penalty. He became the propitiation for our sin. And he became the sacrifice, that sacrificial lamb that was slain for the remissions of sin. So we bless God for Jesus, coming in the likeness of flesh, sinful flesh. He was a man. He became obedient even unto the death of the cross. The lamb before the slaughter. And he didn't say a word. Isaiah picks it up in Isaiah chapter 53. They beat him. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased God. He was made sin so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He who knew no sin became sin for us. So we thank God that he made Jesus sin. He who knew no sin became our sacrifice. He took on our sin. He bared our infirmities. He bared our infirmities. Isaiah talks about there was nothing in him that we should desire him. They beat him beyond recognition. The Roman cat of nine tails, where they just simply beat him unrecognized. They snatched his beard from his face, the crown of thorns. He was beaten for us. He was beaten. He took all of that for us, so that you and I can have the right to eternal life. Now, we, in all of this that God has done for us, full of destroyed for a lack of knowledge. So we got to make sure that we are properly focused, scripturally and doctrinally, that we're not carried away by the sigh of men waiting to deceive us. The same Jesus the same Jesus became Lord and Savior. So we thank God. God has raised him up and gave him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Take heed, brothers and sisters, that no man deceive you. Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. I want you to understand that there is a deception. So, the Bible, you know, God wouldn't say this if there wasn't. You know, God wouldn't warn us, you know, and factually warn us if there was no deception. There is a deception. Everything is not real. Everything is not of God. Every church is not of God. Every preacher is not of God. I mean, people got all kinds of agendas. Some are sincere, some are just sincerely wrong. You know, we got to have the truth, and that's the only thing that's going to set man free. That's the only thing that's going to guarantee you a place. You know, the teaching, the things that we believe, you know, the things that we stand on, you know, the things that we confess over our life. You know, this is where it is. This is what's going on in the world, the religious world. These are the things that either are going to help us or destroy us. So we got to know. Don't be carried away with your emotions, because we are so emotional as a people. You know, we get so excited. You know, we get so excited. Music, you know, we just get carried away. Everybody wants to sing and shout and have a good time. That's wonderful. Praise is good. It has its place. But it does not replace the Word of God. It does not, because you can jump all over the place, pick up your coat and still be a sinner. Amen? So it's not about your emotions. It's about this Word, having this Word in your heart. Amen? So we thank God for the Word. Let's look at what it says here, because when Jesus made these statements, it says here in verse 6, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. When he made that statement, we were in the end time. The most significant verse as far as talking about the time frame is found in the fig tree parable, verse 31. And he shall, let's look at verse 32, I'm sorry. Now learn the parable of the fig tree. When his branches are yet tender and put forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise, ye, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. When Israel became a nation, they had been since Babylon and Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel. In those times when Daniel was able to interpret the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, and they were scattered all over the world. You know, they had no place. You know, this was called the time of the Gentile. They had no place to call their own place, their own home. So God reestablished him. May 12, 1948, Israel became a nation. It's reestablished as a country, a sovereign country. May the 12th, 1948. And if you read Jeremiah chapter 24, you know, this type, you know, fig tree, you know, is a type of Israel. You know, Jeremiah 24, I think it's verse 3, it talks about Israel. And they compared them as figs. The fig tree nation, Israel, became a nation May the 12th, 1948. The generation that saw them become a nation would see it all fulfilled at the end of the age. We've been in the end time since Jesus made this statement. You know, we're looking at things, you know, wars, rumors of wars, pestilence. You know, man has been fighting over the ages. And there have been more wars fought over religion than anything else. You know, it's an ongoing situation. If we had to look at a nation and set ourselves as a part, we would probably need to pay a close attention to what's going on in the Middle East, what's going on with God's people, the Jews. You know, the church was birthed on the day of Pentecost, almost 2,000 years ago. You know, the church was birthed. You know, the Messiah was cut off at the 69th week, Daniel's prophecy, Daniel chapter 9. You know, the Messiah was cut off. There's 1 week in the balance. This 1 week, when the church is raptured, the clock begins again, and what the week, the first, let's think about it, 7 years of tribulation. 1 week. When the church is raptured, the Antichrist, the man of sin, can be revealed. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. He who now, until he be taken out of the way, you know, the man of sin cannot be revealed. Understand that. Let's look at it. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're going to start at verse 1. Now, we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken. Let's look at this word, gathered together unto him. You know, we're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. You know, God is going to call those that are dead. You know, they'll come up first, and they're coming back with the Lord. You know, God has a place called paradise where the bosom of Abraham or paradise, where the souls of those that sleep in Christ, you know, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So he calls them back. He calls them back. And they come back for the redemption of their bodies, you know, so that those bodies in them that are in the ground, of course, Job declared this, if you remember, Job was the first man who talked about the rapture. He said, if a man dies, shall he live again? You know, this is in Job chapter 14. I think it's Job 19 where it talks about Job says, in the latter day he would see the Lord in his flesh. You know, though the skin wound destroyed this body, he said, he would see the Lord in his body. You know, in the latter day, where we are, we're in the latter time. So, let's talk about it. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. We're talking about the seed of Satan. This is the man of sin, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitting in the temple of God, shewing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. Now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in this time. In other words, the thing that withholdeth him, you know, this withholdeth the Antichrist, the thing that withholdeth him. Verse 6, and now you know what this whole is, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity thus already work. Only he who now let, will let, until he be taken out of the way, and then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. I'm going to read that again. And then shall the wicked be revealed. That's verse 7, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. For the mysteries of iniquity, that's already worked. Only he who now let, will let, until he be taken out of the way. Until the church is raptured, then the man of sin can be revealed. You know, the one world order is already in place to put in power the Antichrist, this system, this one world order, one world religion, one world government, one world government, one world religion. That system is already in place, you know, the one world order headed up by the Illuminati. You know, that system is already in place. And when the church is raptured, then he, the man of sin, can be revealed. You know, then he speaks all kinds of words, declaring himself to be glad, God. You know, he comes as the false Christ or the Antichrist. You know, he calls himself the Messiah. Or whereas he sits in the seat of God and declares himself to be God. Of course, he's not God, but he's here declaring himself to be God. And, of course, once the church is raptured, power that was restraineth him is taken away, and now he can take control. There's 1 week in the balance. 69 weeks, 70 weeks were determined upon the people to bring an end to sin. The clock was cut off at the 69th week. And when the church is raptured, then that 7 years, which is in the balance, can be fulfilled, which is called this is when the Antichrist, he's got 7 years that he can have power here on the earth. You know, after 7 years, Christ and the saints come back. They leave heaven, they come back in the eastern sky, and you know, the whole world sees him. Comes back to the Mount of Olives. And they come back to fight what is called the Battle of Armageddon. You know, he comes back. The Bible says here, let's read it again. Let's look at verse 8. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, powers and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause, God send them a strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all might be damned, who believe not the truth, but had the pleasures on righteousness. I believe the word. I believe the word is true. You know, if God said it, that should settle it. You know, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Have not he said it, shall he not make it good? You know, so there are people who, they say all kinds of things about this Bible. You know, they twist it, they turn it, they say one thing after the other. And there are those that say that this is some kind of white man's religion that was made to enslave black people. I mean, there are all kinds of things that people, that Satanists say about the Bible. You know, they're trying to discredit the Word of God. And then there are those that are in religious society that dismiss the Word of God. God tells us to do it certain ways. And, you know, we understand that there's a God somewhere. I mean, even a fool would say in his heart that there's no God. But, you know, people, whether or not we change or whether or not we commit ourselves, whether or not we can fully follow the word of God and believe the word in our heart, I mean, people question so many things. You know, they question with doubt. And so they're not fully persuaded that this is what God would have us to do. So, you know, it's so easy for lukewarm people to be deceived, you know, because we don't take it all in. We don't take it serious. You know, we question what's being said and what's being taught. Even tonight, as we're talking about the one world order, you know, some people have never heard about any such thing. You know, but there is a one world order, a one world, the tenfold kingdom. It comes back together. The Eastern European, those that the Roman revised empire, it comes back together. And of course, the Antichrist is in power. One world religion, one world banking system, and one world government headed up by the UN nations. The EEC, you know, European Economic Communities, you know, these things, you know, it's a part of the end time banking system. We've got to be careful. Bottom line, these are dangerous times. You know, dangerous times. The system is already there. So it's you know, as we look around, there's so many things that God is saying and so many things that God is doing to awaken people out of sleep and to get them in place, to get the church back where they need to be. You know, it's so important to submit yourself. It's so important to be obedient to God, the Holy Spirit, and obedient to God's word. It's so important. You know, it's so important to line yourself up. But there are those who are preoccupied with the things of this world, their own private life, their own personal life and personal gains. And, of course, with the preoccupation of that, we're not fully focused. We're focused on children. We're focused on jobs and different things that happen in the world around us. And we're not properly focused because a lot of these things take us out of focus, out of the agenda, and put us in another place. And, of course, people get carried away with the problems of this world. And, of course, we lose out in God when we do this. Amen. We can't just be a hearer of the word. We must become a doer of the word. There is a great deception, and there's going to be a great falling away. It's going to be a great falling away, and it's going to be great devastation. The tribulation is like nothing this world has ever seen. You know, we get turned off and we got caught up in the situation that are going on in this country, ISIS and, you know, all of these things that are going on with the police. I mean, this is nothing to be compared. These are just, you know, just little, I guess you would call them types and shadows of the things that will come upon this world and in this life. You know, we're just not listening. We're just not hearing, you know. People want wealth. They want to be well off. You know, what is the purpose of that? You know, the more people get, I mean, that's another distraction. That's another weight and responsibility. You know, it'd be far better if we gain, you know, eternal life and know who Jesus is, as opposed to trying to be popular, trying to have all this money and the wealth of this world, and can't carry a penny from here, can't carry a dime from this world. Just can't do it. It is the job of the church at this time to equip the body of Christ with the necessary understanding and the purpose of God to be established within the body of Christ, the body of believers. You know, it is the job of the preacher and the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher, you know, the fivefold ministry. God established gifts and gave, you know, thinned it up and gave gifts unto men for the perfecting of the saints, until we all come into the knowledge and into the fullness of the body, of the knowledge of Christ. I mean, we have got to be focused. You know, you can't lose yourself to gain something. You can't gain this world and lose your one soul. You know, you can't do that. We can't just take it so lightly. So, you know, we can't just kind of, all the signs and all the problems and situations are here to alarm us so that we can, you know, begin to understand and take serious notes and take a serious understanding about what's going on. You know, we got to intensify. We got to wake up. We got to get it together. We got to put our, gird up our lines and gird up our mind and get it right. We have to get set our house in order. We got to get these things right and know for ourselves. You know. You know, you got a soul to save and God to glorify, charge to keep. You know, you have, it's your responsibility. Paul said, you know, I bring my body under subjection. At least when I have preached to others, I myself will be a castaway. So it's on our, it's on you. Everybody's going to get an account for themselves. So we thank the Lord. You know, he didn't leave us without some kind of understanding about the times that we're living in. The end time, this is what we are. This is where we are. We're in the end time, and we're just, you know, in that midnight situation where we're close to a dawning of a new generation, a new, you know, whole different age. You know, once the church is raptured, you know, this present age called grace comes to a close, and we step into something else called the tribulation. And then the only way to get saved then is you physically have to taste death. You know, you literally have to die in order to make it in. You know, John saw a number that came out of the great tribulation. You know, those that gave their life as a testimony. You know, this religious society that we're living in, I'm going to take note that this word was true. That God meant what he said. As opposed to, you know, going through the tribulation, we could go through without tasting death. Where that those people that are at this time now where we can simply pass from life to life. But you got to be ready when he comes. You know, your heart's got to be right. You know, you got to be in a place where God can rapture you. You can't be walking in your flesh. You can't be doing things that are ungodly out of the will of God. You got to be focused. You got to be in his will, in his way. You got to hold on. Hold on to him in prayer. You know, praying without ceasing. You know, these are prayerful times. You know, the problems, it's going to take God to fix these problems. It's going to take God for us to make it in. It's going to take God. You know, you're not going to make it without him. And I don't care what title you have, it's going to take God. So we got to have him like we never had him before. Amen. So we thank the Lord for this worship experience on today. We bless his holy and righteous name. Truly the Lord is good, calling his people. You know, can't you hear his voice? The voice of the Lord is calling you. It's beckoning, it's wooing out to us. Come, all ye that are labored and are heavily laden, the Lord said, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of you of me, for my yoke is easy. My burden, they are light. Whosoever will, the Bible tells us, to come. Whosoever thirsts, let him drink of the water of life freely. Come. Come unto me. God is calling us. He's calling out to us, and he's calling us, and he's beckoning to us to come. We need a closer walk with God. Come draw near. Nearer. You know, don't you want that closer walk? Nobody can love you the way the Lord loves you. So we love him back. The depths of our heart, we love him. Not with some condition, with sincerity. So we bless the Lord at this time. Don't you want to go? Don't you want to see him? Don't you want to get caught up with the Lord in the air? Come, brothers and sisters, let us lay aside every weight and sin that does so heavily beset us. And let us run this race. We're compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses. The Bible tells us to lay aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset us. And let us run this race that is set before us with patience. You know, let us keep running. Don't get tired. You know, don't get frustrated. Pray often. Pray. Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. So we bless him for being God. We bless his holy and righteous name. Truly, we thank the Lord for this worship experience. We thank God for the Holy Ghost, the very Spirit of truth. We thank him for revealing God to us. And we just bless God at this time. You know, we just, with every round, you know, every round just go higher and higher. And we are grateful that God is bringing us to this understanding, opening up our understanding and making the word plain to us. Amen. So let us not sleep as others. Let us not be drunk. Let us come. Let us come to the Lord. Amen. We thank the Lord for this opportunity. We certainly bless God for you. And we ask God to continue to pour out his blessing and his understanding upon you. We bless the Lord at this time, and we're going to bring this service to an end. We thank the Lord. Amen. So, Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus Christ, we bless you for now and for all things. We praise you, God, for all things. We ask you, Lord, to look into man's circumstances. We lift our hands as a sign of surrender unto you, recognizing that you are God and your arms are not so short that you can't reach into man's circumstances. Lord, we just ask you, Lord God, for your leading and your guiding hands. We are simply clay in the hands of the potter. We ask you to mold us and shape us and form us and fashion us, God, not according to our will, but let your will be done. We ask you, God, to lead us and guide us to the way of righteousness, to that pathway that leads to eternal life. Father, we just ask for forgiveness of sin, that you have mercy upon us. Have mercy, Lord. We ask you, Lord God, to just draw us. Send forth your Holy Spirit to the hearts of men. You know, let it change our nature. Change the nature of sinful people everywhere, Lord God. Let the hearts be returned to the Lord. Father, we ask that you would speak into their hearts and speak into their minds and their soul words of eternal life. Encourage them in their darkest hour, Lord God. We ask you to be a leading post for them. In the name of Jesus Christ, Father, we bless you for being God. We bless you for the power of the Holy Ghost. We ask him to lead us and guide us. We ask him to bring others in. Draw them now. Draw them nearer, Lord. Let your blood prevail, God. We ask for mercy. New mercy, Lord God. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. And incline your heart to love, Lord God, to love us. And let us love you with the same love in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, bless the Lord, oh, my soul, and all that is within me. We bless your holy and righteous name on today. Father, we thank you for these and all things, these and all blessings. We thank you. We thank you for your son, Jesus, and all that he did for us on Calvary's cross. We thank you for him and his shed blood that was shed on Calvary for the remissions of sin. We thank you, God, for your word that is on record, unremovable, stationary. Lord God, we thank you for that word, the foundation of our faith, that rock of our salvation, Jesus Christ. We bless you now for these and all things, for the saints, Lord God. We ask that they continue to pray. Lord God, we just ask that you would hear our prayer. In the name of Jesus Christ, hear our prayer, Lord God, and incline unto our supplication. Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, bless us, Lord, and we shall be blessed. Keep us, God, and we shall be kept, is our prayer. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. We thank God. We thank God, and amen. And this ends our service for the night. God bless you.